Hi, everybody. My name is Robin Davis, and I'm from ICF International. And today I'm going to be presenting findings from a community participatory evaluation of the Native Aspirations Project, a project that was funded by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. I have no relationships to disclose. Before I get started, I do briefly want to just say thank you to the Native Aspirations communities that were involved in the evaluation, and also to Jeremy Martinez, a former colleague, who for his efforts in data collection and the presentation. So today I'm going to be providing an overview of a brief overview of suicide in American Indian and Alaskan Native communities. I'll give you a background for those of you who are not aware of what the Native Aspirations Project is, its goals. Talk about the role and importance of community participatory evaluation, the specific components of the evaluation of the Native Aspirations Project, and in particular two evaluation components and how they really are exemplars of empowerment evaluation and community participatory evaluation, and talk about some of the lessons learned and next steps. So just for some brief context, suicide is the second leading cause of death for American Indian and Alaskan Native youth aged 10 to 24. And the suicide rate for this group, this population of youth, was among the highest, three times higher than the overall rate of youth suicide. So in an effort to address youth suicide, bullying, and violence in American Indian and Alaskan Native communities, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA, funded the Native Aspirations Project. And I'm going to do a brief overview about what the project entails, how communities became involved in the project. But overall, SAMHSA worked with Indian Health Services, the regional coordinators, to identify high areas of most need. And communities were identified in IHS regions, where IHS regions were identified first, and then tribal communities, Alaskan villages, were identified and were approached to participate in the evaluation. So this slide, the Native Aspirations Journey or Model, presents an overview of the program, of what Native Aspirations is and was. This first part is assessment, where community selection occurred. As I mentioned, IHS and SAMHSA worked to identify communities for participation. There was an introductory call that was conducted with the communities that were identified. A formal letter was sent by SAMHSA asking for their participation, and then formal acceptance to participate in the project. And the project really entailed, there was a contractor, Kaufman and Associates, that were providing technical assistance and training to the communities to mobilize existing resources in the community to reduce bullying, violence, and suicide. So once communities formally agreed to participate, the next sort of phase of this process was capacity building. And during this process, Kaufman and Associates, their coordinators that worked with communities, they conducted site visits, and they also completed community readiness assessments. For those of you who may be familiar, the readiness assessments were really assessing the extent to which communities were ready to engage in prevention work, the level of knowledge in the community about suicide, violence, and bullying, the extent to which it was identified as a problem in the community, resources for help regarding mental health seeking, stigma associated with talking about suicide and accessing mental health treatment. And communities received a community readiness score, which was really used as a tool, a starting place, to understand the capacity that they had to engage in suicide, bullying, and violence prevention efforts, and identify their training needs from the training and technical assistance contractor. The last stage of the capacity building, before we get into planning, was gathering of Native Americans, which was an event facilitated by Kaufman and Associates with the community, in partnership with the community, to really start talking and opening up the community for prevention planning around violence prevention. At the close of the gathering of Native Americans, activities, and this was a community-wide event where all of the community was invited to participate. There was a community mobilization and planning event, and this was really subsequent to the GONA, or Gathering of Native Americans, where preliminary activities, prevention activities, were identified, and the kinds of things that the community wanted to do to reduce violence in their community. This next phase, the community mobilization and planning event, was really getting into the thick of what are the specific goals that you want to achieve through Native Aspirations, and what is it that you want to do, what does your community plan look like. And then the next phase is planning, where they worked with the contractor to identify evidence-based, community-based interventions, and they received training on how best to implement those interventions in their community. And then at the final phase of planning, they developed, with support from the contractor, community prevention plans. And these plans laid out and specified the goals that they wanted to achieve through the Native Aspirations Project and the specific activities that they would be engaging in to reach those goals. And then the next phase is implementation of the specific community activities, and then finally with sustainability and mentoring. Generally, the cohorts of Native Aspirations, they were involved pretty heavily with the TA contractor in years 1 through 2 of their engagement. And as they got into sustainability mentoring, really started happening in year 3, and they developed sustainability plans, like how do we keep the momentum from these projects, what are additional needs that we have. They worked with the TA contractor to develop potentially some grants for additional funding for their communities for prevention work. But this is the overall wheel or journey of the Native Aspirations Project. So what I'm going to talk about today is the community participatory evaluation that was implemented, or the evaluation of the Native Aspirations Project. In developing an evaluation of this program, there was a heavy emphasis on communities' participation very early on, active engagement, and an equitable role and voice in not just the program, but the evaluation. And so the community participatory approach used empowerment evaluation, which is where ICF, as the evaluator, we really served as a facilitator in many aspects for the communities to develop evaluation plans, to provide training to community members to conduct evaluation, so that we weren't just going into communities, doing evaluation, and then leaving. So we were trying to build capacity within each of the participating communities. The other specific thing that we did related to community participatory evaluation is we utilized a local community researcher model. So we worked closely with the participating tribes and villages and identified somebody in their community that would serve as a contact with ICF for the evaluation, but a person who was really connected and understood potential data that would be available, sort of could navigate the local requirements around data collection, and had a voice in data that were being collected. And also we provided training to this person around the different data collection elements that I'll talk about in just a second. The other piece that informed and sort of drove the community participatory evaluation was ICF with SAMHSA hosted a tribal evaluation work group in 2007 as the evaluation design, and really the start of the evaluation design. We invited representatives from cohorts 1 and 2 of Native Aspirations to come to this meeting, as well as Kaufman and Associates was there, the training and technical assistance provider, as well as national experts and working with tribal communities and other tribal representatives. The purpose of the work group was really to, again, for the communities, SAMHSA, the TA provider, and ICF to have shared voices in prioritizing evaluation components, prioritizing the project, and really having those priorities drive the final evaluation design. And so we all met in 2007, and then ICF developed draft instruments and draft protocols, and we share those with the group and receive sort of rolling feedback as we finalize the evaluation design. So the final design was a process and outcome evaluation. It was multi-method, multi-site evaluation, and really had two tiers. One was, the first tier was activities that all communities participated in. And the second tier were some specific evaluation activities for specific elements of that journey wheel that I just showed you. One example was we did data collection for gathering of Native Americans to understand sort of the readiness before the event and then sort of community perceptions after the event had occurred. But that's, when I say two-tier, there was sort of a group of communities participating in everything and some who participated in some extra activities. So the two activities that I'm going to talk about today are the two that are highlighted. One is concept mapping, and the second one is the Community Knowledge, Awareness, and Behavior Survey. And we selected these because the concept mapping approach, and I'm going to talk about it in just a minute, coupled with the community survey, really provides a great lens into participatory evaluation and how this process, and it is a process, can sort of guide and inform policies, not just through the evaluation, but through program implementation. And in working in partnership with communities, as you're getting evaluation data and as these data collection activities are happening, this funnels back to the communities so that they can continually use the information to make decisions and inform program priorities. So before I get into the details of the two data collection activities I'm going to be talking about, I just want to briefly mention that the evaluation for Native Aspirations that ICF was involved in and what I'm talking about today, the communities are tribes and villages across six states. There's it covers a wide geographic range in the United States, but the communities from which data that I'm talking about today come from six communities. And they were chosen primarily because they had rich data sources, both from concept mapping that occurred in the communities and the community level surveys that happened. Okay, so first I want to do a brief overview of what concept mapping is, and then I'll get into just a little bit of the nuts and bolts of it, specifically what we did with the communities. So concept mapping is really a process to understand how different concepts about a particular idea or prevention strategy relate to one another. And concept maps, after the concept mapping process, are generated to help communities identify and prioritize what they should be doing or what they want to do after you go through this process that I'm about to walk through. And they really were used to try to help used as a tool to sort of facilitate conversations around where should we put our emphasis and our prevention plans. Okay, so concept mapping is really a systematic group discussion. It was facilitated by ICF, but ICF also trained the community researchers on how to conduct concept mapping. It begins by idea generation, starting with ideas and the community mobilization planning process. Communities had ideas about prevention goals that they had. And so it was a way to start talking about and saying, well, what does that goal mean to your community? And articulating them, then you can group these concepts together and see how they naturally align together with one another, and then you can prioritize. It's also a way to start building consensus when you have many voices in a community. You might not agree on everything, but you can find areas where there are strong agreement in the community, either to do something or that's something we do not want to do. And so this was used as a tool to do this. And so we conducted site visits and worked with the training and technical assistance contractor. While they were developing the community plans, we facilitated conversations to help sort of think through, well, what are your priorities when you're developing these plans? Okay, So the first step in the concept mapping process is idea generation, where folks brainstorm and throw out ideas about this is what prevention means to me, or this is how I'll know that we attain our goal in Native aspirations. And so the facilitator says things like, well, how will you know if you've achieved goal one? And folks might say something like, well, we'll see more kids going and accessing services. We'll see less negative behaviors in the village. We'll see more reliance on family members and connectedness with family members. There's a range of statements that folks would say that was how they were defining or thinking about conceptualizing that goal. And you can write down as many statements as they wanted to, and it's a way for everybody's voice during this process to get heard. The second piece is sorting and rating these ideas. And so after the first step, where all of these ideas are laid out, they're printed out, and the community ranks what's most important and what's most doable. And after they do that, it generates a concept map. So they sort of, they group, the community members individually group these statements by how it makes most sense to them to organize it. After that's done, and I'm going to skip these two pieces, but after it's done, it generates maps. And these clusters are identified, and they're shared back with the community. So, for example, school-related issues were identified, health and community were identified as a cluster of activities, and a healthy environment, cultural subsistence might have been identified. And then we identify go zones, and those are the things that are identified as being most important and rated as most doable by the community members. And that's sort of the starting place that we shared. So when they're thinking about their plans, maybe these are the places, the natural places that we want to start. So the results were a couple of general areas that were prioritized. One was families and collaborations with families and family connectedness. Elder involvement, a safer community was another common theme. So I'm just going to talk about real quickly the survey that we did and how the survey can be used to sort of support, provide additional sort of an additional focus. Because when we think about prevention, so if we say we want to implement prevention, suicide prevention activities or violence prevention activities, you can have suicide prevention, interpersonal violence prevention, bullying prevention. And so community surveys were conducted to further assess and try to understand, well, within prevention or within risky behaviors, are there specific pockets or groups within communities that sort of should be the focus or the priority? Sorry, and I'm not going to go through the demographics. There were 138 youth and 222 adults that participated in the survey across these six communities. And so just for some brief findings and where there's parity between the concept mapping, this initial stage, and the subsequent community survey, one is around some family connectedness. And there were strong relationships between younger adults and sort of know it, their parents knowing where they were in the communities. There was a strong relationship between older youth and their reliance on family members, indicating that there probably is existing sort of strength-based family connectedness with older youth in the community, which might sort of, when you think about, well, where do we want to focus on building those relationships, are younger youth going to their parents? Another example is violence prevention and youth being used as gatekeepers. Older youth were significantly more likely to intervene if a peer indicated some kind of suicidal ideation, but younger youth did not. And so those are just some examples of how the survey data sort of complemented the early concept mapping construction of prevention plans and can help communities prioritize how they might implement prevention programs. And just to sort of to wrap up and give you next steps, what's occurring next. SAMHSA and ICF are working on three dissemination activities. One is to talk about suicide prevention in Alaska, and these data will be from the Native Aspirations Project as well as the Garrett Lee Smith Suicide Prevention and Early Intervention Project. And also a report on sustaining successful suicide prevention in tribal communities. And then the final area is looking at suicide clusters and how the, or suicide contagions, and how those affect specific tribes and villages. And that's all I have. Thank you.